Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, it's Kyle Manzardo Day. The Guardians are set to promote their number two prospect. Call him up, put him on the roster, and have him available for this three-game series upcoming against the Detroit Tigers at Progressive Field. Manzardo has certainly earned the promotion down in Columbus, hitting 304 with a 1016 OPS and 9 home runs. There's nothing left for him to prove at the AAA level. The only problem with all of this is that it comes at the expense of Stephen Kwan, the Gold Glove left fielder, left Saturday's game with a hamstring injury. We'll know more about how severe the hamstring injury is and how long he'll be out later on today. But it looks like he's going to the injured list, and Manzardo's going to take his spot in the roster.
Yeah, Joe, tough way to get a promotion. But, it was either that way or, someone else was going to get released or, someone wasn't performing well. So, that was probably the only way he was going to get up here right now. Because the team was playing well, an injury was probably the only thing that was going to open the door for him.
Yeah, before the game yesterday, Chris Antonetti talked about how, he's done everything they asked of him to do at the AAA level since spring training. Get better against left-handed pitching, continue to work on your defense, all that kind of stuff that, is sort of coded speak for, hey, we're keeping him down there for service time manipulation. That's pretty obvious. But right now, just his performance over the last, 2 weeks alone should have earned him a promotion, regardless of whether Stephen Kwan was injured or not. This is a guy who's continuing to hit home runs at volume. He's impacting the baseball and driving the baseball even as far back as, October, November, when he was tearing it up in the Arizona Fall League, and we talked to him back then. His focus has always been on just hitting the ball hard, and that's something that the Guardians really need.
Yeah, and they have, he showed what he could do in spring training. He had a good camp. He had a real good Arizona Fall League. And he went down in Columbus. He didn't sulk, and he just started hitting, and he really hasn't stopped, Joe. He hit 318 in April, 7 home runs, 18 RBIs. So far in May, 294, with 2 home runs, 2 RBIs. So, he's done a really nice job, and, it's going to be interesting to see how Stephen Vogt uses him and works him into the lineup, where he hits in the lineup, because he's another left-handed hitter, Joe, and they've got a ton of those.
Yeah, and the nice thing about that is this year the Guardians don't seem as susceptible to left-handed pitching. Josh Naylor, Andrés Giménez, both having good seasons hitting against lefties when they get their opportunities to do so. Having a guy like Manzardo, he's actually kind of, different than your typical power hitting prospect who goes up there and you expect 30 home runs, but 120, strikeouts. He'll strike out a little bit, but he won't strike out as much as a guy who you would expect 30 home runs out of. And he'll put the ball in play, but when he does so, he hits the ball hard, and that's that exit velocity is what the Guardians are really looking for in sort of this a hybrid of their contact first approach. You're losing probably the best contact hitter in the game right now in Stephen Kwan for a stretch, but you're gaining a guy who will put the ball in play. It's just going to go a lot farther when he actually does. You talked about how Steve, you questioned about how Stephen Vogt could deploy him here. Yes, he's a first baseman, but he's not a very skilled first baseman. From all reports and all accounts, Josh Naylor pretty much has that position locked down defensively. Can you see them basically being a platoon with Naylor taking most of the time defensively at first base and then at DH, making Manzardo basically your sit and learn and work drills with Ruben Odor and Kai Correa and get better at first base while he's up there in the big leagues?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think he's going to see most of his time at DH. He'll give Josh Naylor a day, maybe once or twice a week. He'll start at first base with Naylor at DH. So you can switch him back and forth there, but Naylor's the first baseman. He's having a great year. He's having an all-star type year. So, Manzardo's not going to replace him at first base for sure. And Joe, you were talking about contact. He struck out 18 times in April, walked 14 times in April. So, that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's something that fits the profile of what this club wants to do offensively. Expectations for Kyle Manzardo. Obviously, you can't get much higher than a guy coming in with 9 home runs and 20 some RBIs already, and just what he's been able to do since the Guardians acquired him. Basically, the end of last season, he was gangbusters down in Columbus, and then he went to the Fall League, like you said. Was an Arizona Fall League All-Star in the Home Run Derby there, and just what he showed in spring training. Basically, every step along the path up until this point, he's done nothing but rake. So the expectations should be sky high for this kid.
Yeah, and, I think, they always do a good job, Cleveland does, of, protecting their prospects when they come up. Maybe he's not going to be in the lineup every day. Maybe, he'll be, they'll ease him into this situation and lowering expectations as much as possible. But yeah, Joe, I mean, he is he's up early. This is earlier than anyone expected, I'm sure, with Manzardo being here. We've seen this happen a bunch of times with different prospects. What did Lindor come up in, June or July? I can't read. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when that was. I know the team was in Detroit when he came up. So this is a little ahead of schedule. And of course, that was caused by the injury. But, and the good thing is, Joe, the team is playing well. It's not like they're starving for runs and they're going to be all the focus is going to be on Manzardo. I think he'll just kind of hopefully fit into the lineup and keep, keep the line moving.
Yeah. You talk about whenever they called Lindor up, it was way too long and too late for anybody who wanted him. You remember how much they were screaming for him then. It was like Bo Naylor last year. They were screaming for him for the entire, start of the season. And then he finally arrived. So, it's never on time in terms of when these prospects arrive, according to the fans. I do believe if we go back to a late March post that you and I both co-wrote on the site, it was our expectations for things that will happen during the season, our predictions sort of what would happen during the season. I think the very last one on that post was that Kyle Manzardo would make his debut with the Guardians before June 1st. It looks like we were almost a full month ahead of schedule on that one.
Yeah, Joe, definitely. He is, this is an exciting time for him, exciting time for the organization. And when you think back to the trade that brought him here for Aaron Civale, you know, he was hurt. He was on the IL when they made the trade for him. And, you know, you're thinking, okay, who is this kid? You know, where did he come from? He's hurt. You know, you just traded one of your best starting pitchers for him. And lo and behold, you know, not even what, 8 months later, he's in the big leagues.
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly what the best case scenario could have been for that when you made that Aaron Civale trade last year. Seeing how he arrived right now. You asked about, you know, who is this kid? We've done a lot of digging, a lot of talking to guys. I spoke to his college coach at Washington State, Brian Green, who's now the head coach at Wichita State. Brian Green said that he's got a couple of left-handed hitters, big kids in his program in Wichita, who need to sort of develop their power and develop their approach and their swings. And he told me that he's pretty confident that he's got the blueprint for that because he saw how Kyle Manzardo developed early in his career at Washington State. So, when you've got guys, you know, your coach is talking about you like that, that's a pretty positive sign just about his approach and his work ethic and his personality. He's the son of a high school baseball coach in Idaho. I would not be surprised to see him show up in the Guardians clubhouse today wearing a flannel and a Carhartt beanie. I mean, this kid is a sort of a lunch pail type, approach. He was described as a throwback. Green told me a story about his sophomore year. They were facing a Kennesaw State, some school out in Washington. And there was an at-bat that he remembered where it was against a left-handed pitcher. And Manzardo had fouled off a ball to his pull side that must have come off the bat at 100 miles an hour. And he fouled off the next pitch to the left side, the opposite field, at 100 miles an hour. And then he said the kid must have thrown him back-to-back breaking balls because next thing you know, he drilled one to the gap for a double. And that's when Green sort of turned to his assistants and he said, yeah, this kid's a dude. You know, this is a dude. So the Guardians are calling up a dude. This is a sort of a big moment for them.
Yeah, and it's going to be exciting. All big league debuts are exciting, especially when there's some anticipation around it. You know, he's performed well. He's done, like you said, Joe, he's done everything he could to make this day possible, and I'm sure his family's going to enjoy it. He's got relatives in Michigan. I'm sure they're coming down for it. I don't know if his mom and dad will be coming out for it, but he has a brother that's a player. So it's going to be a fun thing for the Manzardo family.
Yeah, really looking forward to it, and we'll have as many updates as we can throughout the day sent to our subtext subscribers. Great way to get in touch, get behind the scenes, and see things from that point of view is our subtext. If you want to subscribe for $3.99 a month, go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346 and subscribe that way. Hoynsie, pretty big weekend. They take two out of three from the Angels at home, losing Friday night, actually getting shut out. In a game where they weren't able to sort of, they sort of were sleepwalking through that game, kind of understood when they got home from Houston at 3 a.m. that day. So maybe overlooked that one as maybe a lack of energy, a little listlessness. But Saturday they came back with that energy, and Austin Hedges was really a spark plug.
Yeah, Austin Hedges, first they hit three home runs Saturday in the 7-1 win. Hedges was the first one to go deep. It was just his fourth hit of the season, Joe. And I'm telling you, nobody gets more enjoyment out of a home run than Hedges. He was smiling as he came out of the box, and they gave him a silent treatment in the dugout. And, I like what Hedges said, excuse me, after the game. He said, everyone thought they were kind of, tired after that trip against Atlanta and Houston. But he said that wasn't really the case. He said he thought they played great baseball against Atlanta and Houston, but the game that really bothered him was the Friday game, the 6-0 game. And he said the 7-1 victory on Saturday was a response to this 6-0 loss on Friday. So and he's helped spearhead that. And, with the home run in the second inning, then Laureano hits his first home run, and Bo Naylor kind of seals the deal with his first ever grand slam in the sixth inning. So that was, that was a good rebound game.
Yeah, and then they come back on Sunday and they win the series. You've got Esteban Florial batting in the leadoff spot for Stephen Kwan. How does Manzardo's addition to this roster, do you think, impact Florial? Does that push him into more of a defensive, role, because they're going to need somebody in left field, and Florial's been the DH for the bulk of the at bats this year that he's gotten. Will he see more time in the field, and how do they deploy him that way?
Yeah, Joe, I guess he's going to have to because, they didn't bring Manzardo up here to sit. He's going to be playing almost, I would think, every day, depending on how he's doing. But, you got to give this kid a chance. The opportunity is there now. It's kind of a, it's not in a direct path with with Kwan getting injured. But, with Kwan down, there's a position open. There's at-bats open. And it looks like probably Florial takes that spot, and Manzardo will go in, hopefully, into the DH spot, DH first base spot. So, yeah, I would think Florial's going to see more action. And I was always wondering, Joe, in the Houston series, they run Gabriel Arias out in the center field, the last game of the series, and he has that terrible game out there. And you got Florial and
he's Florial a center fielder.
He's a center fielder. Laureano's a center fielder, and you don't play him, and you put Arias out there, and it's not really his fault that he struggled with those two fly balls.
Well, and yesterday you had Tyler Freeman get a come in on a ball that went for a double over his head, and it was the first run of the game for the Angels. Yeah, you've got guys who are sort of, I guess the response probably is they've got to learn somehow. They've got to play somehow. Yeah. They've got to get that experience somehow. And that's why you're not seeing Florial and Laureano in center. You're seeing them on the corners. But now maybe that helps Florial a little bit, knowing that he's going to be in the lineup. He's going to be in the field on a regular basis now. And he can just set his mind to focusing on backflips and things like that, because in the third inning, he runs out a ground ball, has a near collision there around the bag at first. And then just when we're about to take our eyes off the play, he flips himself up. It's called a kip up is what it's called. It's for laying on your back and you snap yourself forward using your hands and pushing off. And I just had never seen something like that. It was everybody in the press box was like, whoa, what was that? It's sort of fun to see. So maybe we'll talk to Florial about that pregame today and just get his thoughts on where he learned to be. We asked Stephen Vogt, hey, you ever get up off the ground that way? And Stephen Vogt kind of snickered as he was walking away from the podium post game. And he goes, no, I have a different kind of athleticism, as he just sort of laughed and walked off the podium there. So, Esteban Florial, just a guy to sort of watch and look at and focus as we move forward with this Detroit series. We've got we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the way that the Guardians won the game on Sunday. Josh Naylor and Jose Ramirez both hitting two-run home runs. You never get tired of sort of, heaping praise on Jose Ramirez for, what he's able to do. You shouldn't take for granted. And when you see him have another 10-pitch at bat where he finally homers at the end of a 10-pitch at bat, it's the second time he's done it this year, fifth time in his career that he's had a 10-pitch at bat end in a home run. Just giving this guy opportunities to see more and more pitches and foul pitches off and wear you down. It's a recipe for disaster for an opposing pitcher. And Jose Ramirez made Griffin Canning pay for it yesterday in the sixth inning.
Yeah, definitely. I was listening to the game on the radio, and as pitch by pitch by pitch went by, you could just, you know, you could have that feeling that, you know, something big is going to happen here. And on the 10th pitch, bang, you know, and both those guys really needed those hits. You know, Ramirez has really been struggling. Same with Naylor. When Ramirez was 0 for 19 and Naylor had been, you know, kind of falling off the earth as well. And you know, when you're two, you know, in the middle of your hit order hitters, you know, going to a funk together, you know, you're going to struggle to score runs. So that was great to see both those guys hit, you know, two run homers late in the game to give them that win.
Yeah. And Hosey, you know, he sensed that frustration as well because he took his bat almost all the way to the bag at first base. And then when the ball cleared the wall, he slammed it down and rounded the bases. And Naylor, you know, sort of did the same thing, a little bit more of a celebration when he hit his in the eighth inning. He got behind home plate after he rounded the bases and, you know, was sort of imploring the crowd and getting everybody hyped that way. So you could tell it meant something to both of those guys to hit home runs that way. So, yeah. Just a lot to look forward to as they get back into divisional play, like you said, with Detroit. They played, looks like, the fewest games in their division of anybody in the AL Central. Other teams have sort of gotten a chance to pad their records and get fat on playing against the White Sox and found success against the White Sox. The Guardians have only played three games against Chicago. There'll be more of those at the end of this week. But first, you got to get through Detroit, and it's not like the last several years. You cannot look past this Detroit team as they come in here this week at Progressive Field.
Yeah, Detroit's 18-16, Joe, four games behind Cleveland in the division. They have, you know, they're kind of 4-6 in their last 10, so they've cooled off a little. But this is a team that, you know, took it to Cleveland last year. They, out of the 13 games they played, Detroit won 9. This is a dangerous team. They've got a lot of good young players. They're all healthy. I think they've only got two guys on the IL. So you know, they're going to be ready to for Cleveland. They played well against Cleveland the last 2 years, and you know, I think this is going to be a really good series.
Yeah, and not like the players in that clubhouse need to be reminded to sort of focus up on something like this. But, you know, maybe with Stephen Vogt in there, is his first time facing the Tigers. Maybe this is an opportunity to say, hey, don't take anybody for granted, because this is a team that took it to you last year. Time to, you know, tighten up against them. As we head into this. All right, Hoynsey, we'll check back in with you tomorrow. Maybe we'll have a report on Stephen Kwan and how long we're expecting him to be out, and updates on Manzardo's debut. We'll check in with you then.
All right, Joe.